So today's title is the first commandment. And it says, love your God with all that you have, basically. Now, question is, who is your God? It should be a simple question with a simple answer. But even in the Old Testament, the most troublesome and the most frequent sin or the mistake the people of Israel were making over and over again was idolatry. And if you read Old Testament from Moses and to the end, that probably is the single most mentioned sin against God, or the one that troubled the people at the most. How come with all the prophets, all the great stories about Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, King David, somehow people are keep falling into worshiping other gods, idols? And here Isaiah is saying that you made them. How could you believe in that? If you read in Judges, there is one story that there is once a Levite priest passing by a village, and they wanted to hire him to be their priest. So in the practice, you know what they did? They cast some silver into fire and make an idol and worship it. Why was it so somehow common? Or why was it so frequent for them to fall into over and over again? And are we really immune to that? And that's a question to you. So, my question to you in this first talk is, who is your God? And please, let us have a moment and think about it. You know, raising children has taught me a lot. Probably a lot more than the thousands of books that I read. Sometimes one encounter with my son is greater than some of 100 books that I read about self-improvement. And it's an amazing thing that I get to relive and also watch and observe how human is actually formed. When I closely pay attention to how my children are changing and acting. So, once upon a time ago, to Roy, whatever I was saying was the truth. And one day he discovered the truth, that Daddy doesn't know everything. Therefore, that one incident gave him this freedom to doubt everything that I say. Because if one thing is not true, or he doesn't know everything, that maybe what he's saying is his opinion, not the truth anymore. Well then, what happens? Well, he asks more questions, or he disagrees sometimes. Even sometimes when I'm actually saying the right thing, of course, from my perspective, he'll say no. And he's only 9, so I think it'll get better and better until it really settles in into certain terms. And I think that's how we all do, or which I did with my parents, which probably you did with your parents too. But wonderful thing, that's the pathway to growth, that's how we grow. And that is the greatest advantage and gift by God, but also that has been the very cause of this problem, human problem with God, is that we somehow, even if I tell you all that I experienced about the presence and the existence of God, unless it actually felt to your heart real to you, you will not actually believe it. You will think, oh, that's possible, but you will not actually believe it. So our human problem or nature is that we all have to start from scratches. It doesn't matter how wise your parents are, all the books written about all the wisdoms, it doesn't really matter. We somehow have to start from zero or blank. So, over and over again, each new generation comes, they have to restart everything somehow. And of course, sometimes we believe what our ancestors have written in the book a little easier way. But the truth is, until it is actually real and confirmed in your heart, would you take it as the truth? Most likely not. First commandment is about loving God. So, did you figure out who your God is? Who is your God? That's a huge question, actually. Are you going to tie your God with a name? Like Jesus Christ, God Yahweh, Allah, Buddha. Is your God a concept? Is your God characteristics that describe the concept? Or is your God the tradition that's been passed down to you 2,000 or 4,000 years? Or is your God doctrine, dogma, theology? Who or what is your God? Without really thinking about that and feeling that, how could you love your God? You're not one of these Jews or Israelites living in this time with this history and this amazing stories, encounters. And even if that's so, still, if you read the Old Testament, they haven't really accepted really well about this amazing acts of God that their ancestors have experienced over and over again. So, who is your God? What is your God? I was actually chatting with Catherine a little bit before the worship. This is one of the hardest topics to preach, actually. Love God with all your strength, all your might, all your spirit. Why? I have my God, and you have your God, and my hope is we have some similarities. That's my hope. Now, so I guess this is called Swedenborgian Church. We're going to what Swedenborg describes about possible image, likeness of God into which we are created. It sums up into love. So this is very odd thing if you really listen carefully. You are created by the being whose essence is love, to be image and likeness of this love and to be vessel of taking this love, yet God has to request you to love. Does that make sense to you? It's like in Zen Buddhism, teacher was explaining to a disciple when he was asked that, who is Buddha? He said, a fire god seeking fire is Buddha. And I see resemblance in in this scripture. Somehow, love, that from which we are created, to become which we are created, yet the first two commandments upon which is to love. So until we put these in actions, in our actions, meaning in our words, in our thoughts, with our body, we probably do not actually embody what is potentially ours. So how do you love the Lord? How do you love it? Ancient Christian churches created this system that if you do X and Y and G to the church, you're loving the Lord. I disagree with it very respectfully. A church is one human institution that is created by humans. That's why we have different churches. And they disagree each other about who the God is, what the characteristics of God, even how you can enter heaven. Yet, somehow, if you read this book, somehow all these differences are, they become somewhat minor problems. So, in the essence, in a very simplistic way, I really believe Jesus was not really fooling us, giving us very hard teaching to understand and accept. So, when it comes to love, loving attitude should be everything that you desire to have. In your feelings, in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, the first and most thing that you'd want to embody into you is a loving attitude. And you know what that is, in the common sense. Loving attitude. And that also is taught by another great philosopher in Eastern world called Confucius. He was saying to his disciples, don't act if it's not the manner. Don't talk if it's not the manner. Don't walk if it's not in the manner. Don't even think if it's not in the manner. And Buddhism somehow teaches the same way. 8 right ways. Think in a right way, act in a right way, perceive in a right way, see in a right way, walk in the right way. That's 8 right ways to enlightenment. And in the Bible, teachings of Jesus is not in such a detailed and practical way, but if you really read it closely, that's what it says. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, you love the Lord. But the Lord is the love, and you are love to be. So, what is asked to do is to be loving in all our details of life. Mind, heart, body, action, all together. And that's where we have kingdom of God. So, what would you do to love your God? You have to do something. And I'm not here to tell you what to do. But first, you find who your God is. Do you find and feel your God is love? Open your heart. Open. Don't be afraid of anything, actually. And accept this. And embody this, that everything is in the way of loving. and there will be given wisdom, strength, and the power. And in that is the blessing. And I believe that is the way of being a truly Christian taught by Jesus Christ in this gospel. So may there be blessings upon you in your inquiry, in your seeking and finding and experiencing and living your God who is present in your heart, in your mind, and in your lives. Amen.